Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, sponsored by Tobacco Road Golf and Travel. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us. We've got a great show for you today. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, the seaside golf capital of the world. Darren Bunch, my partner in crime out there in California, who knows where. But we're glad you found us here as we always are. Darren, we are talking the Masters. We are talking azaleas. We're talking pimento cheese. We're talking moon pies. We're talking all kinds of good things, but mostly the Masters. And we got a great show today.
Oh, we definitely do. We've got Ron Green Jr. from Global Golf Post. And it has been a really good kind of mini Masters week that we're doing, and he's wrapping it up for us. So looking forward to seeing what he has to say.
And that is perfect. We'll get to Ron from his home in Charlotte, North Carolina in just a second. But before we do that, obviously, as I said, we're glad you found us. GolfNewsNet.com, iTunes Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher. And on social media, you can get to Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. And you can find me at both Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. Darren, before we move down the road to Augusta, we're going to move a little bit up the road from there and talk about a place that you and I both love, Tobacco Road, and the great people at Tobacco Road Golf and Travel.
Oh, man, it's time to start planning those spring and summer getaways. I am planning one myself for just a few weeks away. And if you've listened to many of our 50-plus Talking Golf Getaways episodes, you know we're huge fans of Tobacco Road. So if you're looking to make that bucket list Pinehurst area visit, make sure to visit Tobacco Road Golf and Travel.
And that is the way to do it. More than 20 courses available, the Dormy Club, Southern Pines, you name it. They've got great lodging, some of them right there on Pinehurst number 5. So get in touch with them. TobaccoRoadTravel.com is the way to do it. And we thank them for helping us bring you this Masters Week. And as I say that, I mentioned that we have Ron Green Jr. on the show, or Darren mentioned it, but sometimes we speak as one, which to me is terrifying. Ron, I'm sure everybody out there listening knows, key, well-respected member since 2013 of the team at Global Golf Post, and that's after an award-winning sports writing career with the Charlotte Observer. I've had the privilege of reading both Ron and his dad, Ron Jr., and Ron's work for many years, two of the most prolific and magnificent writers that we have in the game. He's covering the PGA Tour now for Global Golf Post, as well as other golf-related news that captures him, frequent appearances on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, the Golf Channel, and really one of the truly gifted storytellers in our game. Numerous awards, which I won't go into now, but one that struck me, Ron, you got to be pretty proud about this. You were voted the Sports Writer of the Year in both North and South Carolina. There's a ton of great writers. That had to make you feel good. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Well, thanks. Yes, that was very nice to be honored that way. And like a lot of people, you included, I'm guessing, maybe my favorite time of the year because of what's coming up. And listen to you talk about pimento cheese and azaleas. And my car has the pre-Masters pine pollen all over it, so I know it's time to go.
You know, it's funny. We talked to John Patrick from Augusta Golf Show. We asked him how you know it's Masters time. He forgot to mention the pre-Masters pine on the cars, which I know well.
And if I'm sniffling or sneezing, it's I'll use that as my excuse because it happens every year.
Well, hopefully it doesn't interfere with your ability to type, which is really, really the key issue. I want to get started because there's so much we could talk about, but we want to concentrate, obviously, on the Masters. I mentioned before your dad. I know that in the family, sports and golf in particular has been a focus for so many years. I wanted to just jump. There's a lot we could talk about relative to your own career in the game and covering the game. But when it comes to the Masters, I had read that your first PGA Tour event was in 1965 at the Greater Greensboro Open, which was the last event won by Sam Snead. And you talk about a first event that you went to. What an amazing connection to the history of the game. What was the first Masters that you went to? What was the first time you actually went to Augusta?
1979 was my first Masters. I've been to every, all but two of them since. I went 79, 80, then I missed two, and I've been to everyone since. But, you know, growing up, my dad covered 60 Masters. He stopped 2 years ago, decided 60 was a nice, good round number. And he will now take his pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches on the couch at home. But I went 1979, having heard about it, and no different than anybody else who's watched it on TV and heard about it, read about it, and goes there for the first time. No matter what you expect, you still get sort of overwhelmed by it and the size of it. The hills everybody talks about are bigger than you imagine. It just, it's so green. I mean, that's when you mention Augusta, mention the Masters, sort of green comes to mind. And happened to be there, Fuzzy won as a rookie, when he, Masters rookie, the first year I was there, and saw Seve win the second year. And, I mean, wonderful way to start. And just, you know, as much as I liked it before I went, I liked it even more after I've been able to go for all these years. And each year when this rolls around, I mean, we, you know, it's not long after the holidays that you sort of start setting your clock toward what we're going to get.
Well, how cool is it that you still feel that way after all this time? I know, I'm sure your dad does too, even though he won't be there. How old were you? And this isn't giving away any secrets. We have math, but I'm not good at it. How old were you in 79 when you went for the first time?
I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. let's see, I would have been 23, I guess.
Okay, so you didn't go earlier than that. That's a pretty good age to get there for the first time.
My dad tells the story of his early years covering the Masters. They would actually have parades downtown in Augusta to sort of drum up support for the tournament and make sure tickets were sold and all that. And to which I always remind him, I said, huh, you used to go when they couldn't sell all the tickets, and we never even got on the waiting list to get our own. So I have to keep going, keep working every year so I can keep going.
What an amazing connection to the history of the game. I mean, truly, what a mind-boggling connection to the history of the game. Which was the first one that you actually covered as a journalist? Was it in 79?
1979. Yeah, I was working for the Chapel Hill newspaper, which was then a good afternoon, daily afternoon newspaper. And I convinced the publisher, it was a small paper, he was a golf guy, I convinced him, could I go to the Masters if I could get a credential? Because I'd just go sleep on a couch. My dad and several other writers shared a big old house. And so I got them to give me a credential, and I went down there and slept on a couch and wrote about Fuzzy, and been doing it ever since.
That's pretty cool. I got one of the questions I wanted to ask, and I'm surprised we haven't asked this of anyone during Masters Week on these episodes is, you know, you mentioned the fact that it's still an amazing experience when you go. Try to describe for listeners what it's like. I mean, they talk about the roar and how you can hear the roar throughout the trees and depending on what hole you're on. Try to describe what that feels like to kind of be on the grounds when something really gets electric there.
Well, I mean, it's if you've been there more than a day, I would guess you'd say. So you sort of learn the geography of where everything is, and haven't been there as many times. You kind of learn by the sound of where it's coming from, what it is. And, you know, certain roars have, you hear on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when guys are down there skipping balls off the water at 16, you hear that come all the way up from down in the valley up on top of the hill there. And that's, you know, more playful laughter roars. But I mean, you can remember, I mean, particularly on Saturday and Sunday when it's starting to get serious, I mean, and they get down and sort of the lower land down toward Amen Corner and all that stuff. I mean, if something big happens, I mean, like when Nicklaus won in 86, I mean, it was just thunderclaps coming up. And I mean, you can almost feel the electricity in the air. You know, as you get it other times, suddenly, I mean, we've had guys make aces on 16 late, you know, on Saturday and Sunday, and you hear that one out of nowhere. The one I remember most recently, or it comes to mind most recently, is when Louis Oosthuizen made the Albatross on number two, whatever it was, in 2012 or 2014, I think, whichever one. I mean, that was just an explosive amount of noise and a no because I had just decided not to watch him hit his second shot and walked on down toward the third hole. So I was close enough to hear it and feel it, but didn't bother to stand there and watch it go see it happen. So yet another missed club decision by me.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I was actually on the tee at the second hole when he played that shot. And he kind of went down and walked down to the fairway where we hit that shot. I was not that far from you, apparently.
Yeah, we were in the same neighborhood. I still remember the story when Larry Mize beat Greg Norman with the famous chip in the purple shirt and all that. And my sister and brother-in-law were down there. And rather than go to the 10th hole, they gambled they were going to go to the 11th hole and wait until they would get there. Sure enough, they were down there. And it's slightly embellished story, but the essence is, after Larry Mize misses the green, my sister says, "I'm going to run to the bathroom while he hits his chip, and I'll be right back."
No, she didn't.
And she's sort of coming out the door like, "Wow, that's a big roar."
All right, under the heading of things you wish hadn't happened.
Right, exactly.
Unbelievable. Do you have a favorite Masters? Do you have one that really, of all of them, would it be Jack in 86? That seems to be so many people's.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that one. I mean, that's the one you leap to. I was telling somebody the other day, whenever I come across this time of year, the hour-long video, film, whatever, of the highlights of the 86 Masters on Golf Channel or wherever, I mean, I just, like, well, you know, I could catch it 15 minutes in, like, well, there goes the next 45 minutes because I got to sit and watch this again. It's fun, and you just can't, it's like, when you see The Godfather as you're flipping stations, you stop and, you know, you just feel obligated to watch at least a few minutes of it. So I love the 86 Masters. I remember the 75 Masters. I wasn't there, but I just remember when Nicklaus left the bear tracks on the green and all that. And Weisskopf Miller thing. In 97, when Tiger won, the way he won and sort of the impact it had across golf and beyond golf, that was really one you just, it's rare that you wake up on a Sunday morning and you know history is going to be made. But you knew it that day and felt it. And, you know, it resonates all these years later. I mean, Phil winning that first one was terrific. You know, Phil has that way, I mean, whatever year it was, when he was making all those eagles holding shots on 14, I guess it was nearly held one on 15 after eagle 13. Those kinds of things. You know, I mean, Jordan winning, and then I was down there. I rarely am outside watching the last few holes because there's usually so much going on. You try to be in the media center to get a full sense of it. But Jordan had such a big lead going to the back nine last year. I remember me and a buddy, we said, let's walk down 10, 11, 12, watch him play, never imagining we were going to see what we saw. And, you know, that was a different kind of memorable Masters, but just the seeing him hit the ball in the water on 12 and then thinking to myself, boy, he's going to a strange spot to hit this next shot. And then as soon as it left his club from the angle we were and the ball going over Rae's Creek, I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't know whether to say get up or get down because you knew it was going dead in the middle of the creek. And that was one of those days like when Norman lost to Faldo. I mean, the cheering was kind of muted because the way things had transpired.
Ron, what are some of the things about Augusta National that you think listeners would want to know who haven't been there and all they've seen are the glimpses on television? You know, is there something that surprises you still when you're there?
I still challenge anybody to go find me a weed because I refuse to believe I've yet to see one. That sounds an exaggeration, but it's really not. And I just think it's the scale of it. I mean, everybody's heard the stories about what it's like outside sort of the perimeter of Augusta National and the you know, Washington Road and all the development. It looks like, you know, there's a Starbucks and a T-Bones and Hooters and all those places. And suddenly you turn and go inside these gates and there you are in this, you know, it's like something Disney would create. And you go in there and you look at it and it's just, I don't know if there's such a thing as a perfect golf course, but it's hard to imagine one being better than that. The way it's set up and the way it plays and the way it rolls and looks. And we're going to miss the azaleas this year. I think the early spring sort of got them. I was down there for something for a day a couple weeks ago, and they were in full bloom already. So they were a little skeptical they were going to be able to hold on much longer. But still, it's just a gorgeous place. And I think that's what you get. I mean, you go in there and you hear about the pimento cheese sandwiches costing $1.50 or whatever. And they everything seems to run so smoothly. I mean, even concession lines, they have it. They have members stand there, study it, and they make it work so well. It's just, you know, it's just the model of how you'd want something to do. I mean, certainly they have a budget that probably a lot of other events would like to have, but they also have people, you know, they know what they're doing. They know how they want to do it. And, you know, aside from the people who quibble about not allowing their cell phones on a property, I mean, it's just a brilliant, brilliant experience.
And you mentioned the sandwiches. Do you have a personal favorite Augusta food?
I probably will end up, it alternates years. One year I eat more egg salad, the next year I eat more pimento cheese. I tend to go towards those. So the little fried chicken sandwiches they have there are good too. So, you know, I stick to sort of the traditional ones there.
That makes total sense to me. I can't wait. I just got hungry. It's lunchtime here in Myrtle Beach. I just got hungry. as we wrap this up, we always like, because we talk about other places and destination golf and public places that people can play. And during a Masters Week, as we've learned, you can also have access to a lot of the private clubs if you make arrangements early enough that week. Do you have courses around Augusta that you like to play? You've been in the area so long. Can you tell us some of the other places you enjoy?
Well, they never will let me play Augusta National during the tournament, which is where I really want to play.
And keep trying. But, keep trying.
Yeah, keep trying. You know, I'm going to have to get my handicap down. I'm going to have to improve that short game to try to get myself in there. I really have played very little golf around there, though I will say last year for the first time I went up to Champions Retreat and played right after the Masters. And going back up there again this year, really enjoyed it. Nice place. I know they do a lot of corporate events and hosting during the Masters, but I was impressed. Really enjoyed it up there. I know we used to stay out in, I guess it's Westlake Country Club area out there. I'm not staying there this year, but I know they have a nice golf course, but never played it. So you can't always believe a golf writer when they say they couldn't play golf because they really did have to work. But Augusta Week is one of those weeks where, yeah, we don't get a whole lot of golf in. And you know, I will say one other place, Palmetto Golf Club, which I have not played during the tournament or right after, but I played another time. And just, I'd heard so much about it. It's one of those places you think, man, it's probably not everything everybody says. But then you get there like, oh, yeah, this is one you'd take every chance you get. So if you could get over to Palmetto, that's another one. Just a great experience. And if you get there at the right times, you might see Kevin Kisner hanging around.
That's true, in a golf cart. I've had the pleasure of Palmetto, and I totally agree with you. I can't wait to get Darren out there because I know, being both of us being Hickory players, he's going to flip out when he goes. So I am in total agreement. We're going to let you run. We've got an Emergency 9 episode coming up, and we will get to that. But for this time, I hope we've continued to spark memories of Augusta for you. Not that you need that. But we're grateful for you spending some time with us before you get into the week of the Masters.
Well, thanks. I really enjoyed it. I could practically hear that Augusta song in my head already now. I'm like everybody else. I just look forward to it. And some tournaments you think, well, I'd just soon get there on Thursday. I'll be down there on Monday at Augusta and would be there on Sunday if I could be. But it's, like I said, favorite week of the year.
And our thanks again. You can find Ron, globalgolfpost.com, right into your inbox every Monday and at other times during the week. It's fantastic on Twitter if you want to get his personal thoughts about some things. At Ron Green Jr. is where you can find him. And Darren, this has been fun. I know we always enjoy these kinds of talks.
Oh, we love talking the Masters. And as always, we got to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. So hit us up on Twitter if you want to talk about the Masters. I'm at Getaways Golf. Mitch is at Mitch Lawrence. Or use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways or hashtag 2HaggisBags to get our attention.
And it will definitely do that. Share us with your friends on social media. You can rate us on iTunes. All we're doing is trying to spread the word about the best in golf travel. Thanks again to Ron Green Jr. Thanks, Darren. I'm Mitch. We'll talk to you next time. And now it's time, as always, as we keep running down the Masters dream, take it away, Tom Petty. So long, everybody.